Behavioral interventions are not enough, as I hear many of you suggesting is in fact the case. Can weight loss medications help patients lose enough weight to reduce obesity-related diabetes?
There are two medications available on the market today, but they're not standalone medications. They have to be used in conjunction with diet, exercise, and behavior modification. And they're FDA approved for patients that have a body mass index of 30 or more without any comorbid medical problems, or a body mass index of 27 with comorbid medical problems such as high blood pressure, diabetes, sleep apnea. The two medications that are FDA approved for long-term use, and by definition it's up to 2 years, is the first is sibutramine. That's a centrally acting medication. It blocks both the uptake of serotonin and norepinephrine. The other medication is the first non-centrally acting medication called orlistat. It's a lipase inhibitor. It blocks 30% of all ingested fat. So if you don't take fat, you don't really need to take the medication. But the key into all of these is they should be used in conjunction with diet, exercise, and behavior modification.
So it seems that some people will in fact be able to lose weight and control their diabetes through diet and exercise, while others will in fact require medication as part of their process. But what about other options that are available to people who have obesity-related diabetes? For example, bariatric surgery.
You know, bariatric surgery is just loosely defined as those sets of procedures which cause weight loss. But I think a new definition has emerged, and that is those set of procedures which actually address the comorbid conditions like diabetes that a patient has. Now, traditionally, we have classified those procedures into broadly restrictive. In other words, you're basically cutting down the number of calories that a patient can eat by decreasing the volume of food that they take in. And malabsorptive, which means that you're decreasing the amount of calories basically through causing the body not to be able to absorb them. Now, it turns out that about 98% of the procedures performed in the United States have basically two. There's basically two. And one is the adjustable gastric band, which is performed about 20 to 25% of the time. And it's purely restrictive procedure. There's no division of the GI tract. It simply confines the amount of food that you can eat to a very small pouch. And the adjustable gastric band, which goes around the stomach and then is slowly tightened to provide just the right amount of weight loss for the patient. The other one, which has been the most used procedure in the United States, is the gastric bypass Roux-en-Y. And it really changes both the amount of food that you can eat as well as it causes some degree of malabsorption.
And the gastric bypass is a procedure that's constructed by reducing the stomach size down to about 15 to 20 mLs. We tell our patients about the size of an egg or a walnut. And just a small portion of the intestines is bypassed. This includes bypassing the stomach and the duodenum and upper jejunum. So most of the GI tract remains intact. So it's a limited malabsorption. But as Robin pointed out, it does combine some degree of restriction with a mild malabsorption, not like the other procedures you alluded to, which constitute only 2% of what's performed in the U.S., the major malabsorption procedures we often call biliopancreatic diversion or duodenal switch. And those procedures, you know, bypass the majority of the intestines and, although effective, do have some greater risk of nutritional deficiencies. But the gastric bypass procedure for the past 10 to 15 years has been the more common operation, constituting about 75% of the operations in the United States today.
Well, prior to the show, we had the opportunity to visit with Mark, one of Dr. Blackstone's patients in Kingman, Arizona. Let's learn about his experience with bariatric surgery to treat his diabetes and his obesity.
I have 20 years of service with the Kingman Fire Department. I love my job. I'm an engineer, a paramedic, and a hazmat tech. 80% of our calls that we run are medical calls. You're out helping people. I've always had issues with weight. My eating habits were a lot of red meat, a lot of fried foods, pastas, and large portions. I've tried just about every diet. you take the weight off, and once you go off the diet, you put the weight back on. I think the doctors call it the yo-yo. You go up and you go down. 2 years ago, I became a diabetic. They put me on diabetic medications, and my weight really started going up.
The weight became out of control. I was very scared. We're both young. I'm in my 30s, he's in his 40s. We have a long life to live together. So I was very concerned that he wouldn't be able to live life to its fullest because of the disease that he had.
I was on 3 medications for diabetes, 3 medications for my high blood pressure, high cholesterol medication. I was using the inhaler probably 2 times a day. At my heaviest, I was 387 pounds. The turning point for me to have the surgery was I was finding it hard to do my job. And it was either have the gastric bypass surgery or look for a new career. I had my surgery October 5th of 2007. The recovery from gastric bypass, the first 36 hours was a little bit rough. The first 2 months was not fun. I would take a medication, a vitamin wrong, or I'd take a sip of water wrong, and I would be sick. I was sick probably twice a week. Post-surgery, they'd remove me from one oral medication, and within 24 hours, I was off insulin, and within 6 weeks, I was off my other oral medication. At this time, I take 2 medications for blood pressure. I take 1 medication for cholesterol. After surgery, they give you a specific menu that you can eat.
Hey, Tanner.
You need anything?
Yeah, you can bone that chicken out.
Your portions are cut way down. Instead of before you're eating a big plate, now you're eating a child-sized plate.
How was it, Tanner?
It's awesome.
Since the surgery, I've gotten more energy. I can go do things. I can get out and go with the kids. They want you to get out and walk a minimum of 30 minutes a day, 3 to 5 times a week. This morning I weighed at 277 and I've lost 110 pounds. And that's 5 months out. I'm glad I had the surgery. I was a little apprehensive going through it, but I'm glad that I made the decision. It is a life-changing surgery. It's not something you go in and have it done and then go back to your old habits. It's a lifestyle change.
You know, one of the things that really struck me about Mark's situation is that his diabetes was really, only barely controlled with the medications he was on. And very shortly after his surgery, even before he left the hospital, he had significantly reduced his medications and was completely off of them with normal glycemia. And that's very typical of the patients that we see with diabetes who go into remission.
You know, another important point for physicians is that, in general, diabetics have a more difficult time losing weight than non-diabetics, regardless of whether it's surgery or a medical-based therapy. So I think that's an important point for physicians to keep in mind. They may have a more difficult time getting their diabetic patients to lose the same degree of weight.
Dr. Blackstone, I hear you using the term remission, but is Mark cured of diabetes?
You know, we are very reluctant to use the term cure when it comes to diabetes. What we like to say is if a patient has a hemoglobin A1C of less than 6 and they have normal glycemia on multiple tests and they're off medications, to us that really signifies remission.
A number of studies over the last 15 years have addressed the issue of diabetes remission after bariatric surgery. In fact, a landmark paper in the early 1990s by Walter Pores was one of the first to show remission after gastric bypass. In fact, 83% of the patients who had diabetes had a complete remission and long-term remission. In total, there's about 20 different studies showing biochemical evidence, that is, fasting blood sugar as well as hemoglobin A1C at the normal levels following these bariatric procedures. Gastric bypass is resulting in about a 75 to 85% remission rate, and gastric banding about a 50 to 60% remission rate. So there really is a wealth of data on the effects of bariatric surgery and type 2 diabetes, and this information has actually been known for more than a decade.
At least in our experiences, what type of procedure you do affects the remission rate or how quickly they do go into remission, specifically with regards to their diabetes. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, I agree. And in general, if you look at all of the operations that we just talked about, the remission rates vary anywhere from about 50%, up to 80%, in some cases even nearly 100%. In general, the restrictive procedures, including gastric banding operations, tend to yield a remission rate of around 50%. The gastric bypass procedures tend to yield a remission rate in the 75%, as high as 85%. And then the more extreme biliopancreatic diversion type operations have a rate that even approaches nearly 100%. This is in part driven by the operation, but also patient factors play an important role. Patients who have more advanced disease, who are on high doses of insulin, are less likely to have a complete remission compared to those that have early diabetes. And this is just common sense.
One of the other factors in those studies was the duration of disease. And so patients who had had diabetes for a longer period of time tended to go in remission less often. So, that really asked the question, I think, for a lot of physicians, when should I refer? Because, patients who maybe have not yet progressed as far will really do better with surgery than patients who have already have had diabetes for 8 or more years. So I think that it's really important that duration of disease is a very important factor in their remission as well.
Robin, that's a very good point. And actually, a study that I was one of the authors on demonstrated this idea of a window of opportunity for diabetic patients. And it appears that within 10 years of the diagnosis is this magic window. Once an individual has diabetes more than 10 years, the remission rates drop off dramatically from the 90% range down to 50% range. This is probably due to this notion of the beta cell deterioration and beta cell death over a long period of exposure to hyperglycemia.
How do gastric bypass and adjustable gastric banding compare in terms of diabetes outcome?
Well, again, if you look at the study that was done, just released up by Dr. Dixon in JAMA, only been diagnosed within the last 2 years, and the adjustable gastric band had a very profound effect on that population. If you look at patients who are a little bit farther down the road, they're not going to be as successful.
But in that study, I think it was remarkable, Robin, that this was a level one evidence study, a randomized controlled trial that demonstrated a 73% remission for type 2 diabetes compared to the control group that had a remission rate of 13%. And clearly in this study, the driving factor was the amount of weight loss. I think the take-home message is that weight loss can be a very powerful therapeutic tool for effectively treating and controlling diabetes.
And would you say, Phil, that the restrictive procedures are primarily their mechanism of weight of remission of diabetes would be more the weight loss that's associated with the procedure, whereas the malabsorptive procedures like the gastric bypass would be more perhaps about that bypass of the duodenum or the foregut?
Yeah, I think based on what we know now, it appears that the restrictive operations primarily work strictly by weight loss reduction in fat cell mass as their main mechanism of action. But it's quite interesting, Robin, that the gastric bypass procedures, in addition to weight loss as a mechanism of diabetes control, there are probably other factors related to gut hormone production. We call this the incretin effect that promotes insulin secretion as well as reducing or improving insulin resistance.
We've been focusing on diabetes control, but can bariatric surgery patients expect other improvements to their health?
Well, you know, as you saw in Mark's case, he also had hypertension, he had high lipids and cholesterol, and he also had sleep apnea. So in addition to diabetes, he had other risk factors for cardiovascular disease. And we know from the data that we have, particularly a study by Adams that came out in August in the New England Journal last year, that he took a number of patients and sorted them into two groups, one that had had surgery, gastric bypass in particular, and a group that was MASH controls that did not have surgery. And what he showed was not only was there a 92% difference in survival for those patients with diabetes, but a 60% survival advantage for patients who had surgery for cancer, and a 56% advantage for patients who had cardiovascular disease in terms of survival.